have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Brother Otis Gabriel. Our distinguished discussion leaders are unavailable this evening, and they call and ask me if I could make the continuity smooth and continue with the discussion on this Saturday evening. And you're going to be glad that you signed in. We have an outstanding topic. And, of course, you heard from the beginning, it's about making marriage work. And first of all, let's see who is on the line. Okay, Reverend Billy, are you on the line?
Yes, he is.
All right. Brother Chuck Blackman, are you on the line? Okay, Brother Ben, are you on the line? All right, Brother Mike.
Yes, praise the Lord.
Well, just tell me who's on the line. If you're on, just give me your name so we'll all know and be introduced to who's on the line this evening. Who else is on?
Brother McMillan.
Okay, we got you, Mike. Go ahead, man. All right.
Brandon on the line.
Hey, Brandon, how you doing, buddy?
What's up, man?
Good. All right, welcome. Hello? Hello? Have someone else on the line? Go ahead. It sounded like a lady. What's your name again, please? Okay. Well, as you come on, just let us know and join the discussion. First of all, we're going to open up with the word of prayer. Almighty God in heaven, we thank you for this blessed moment when we come together on a Saturday evening talking about a topic that is near and dear to our hearts, a topic from the heart, Heavenly Father, love, and how to make our relationships work better. And Heavenly Father, I want to ask you to bless this discussion. Lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness, harmony, peace, and joy. Be with us, Heavenly Father, in our hearts, our words, as we discuss and make every attempt to enhance our current and future romances. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And now we will have the scripture.
Good evening, everybody. I'll be reading from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9 and verse number 12. And I'm using the New International Version. Verse number 9 says, two are better than one because they have good return for their labor. And then verse number 12 says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Amen.
And amen. Okay. And we're talking about love. And one thing about this topic is it's something that we all really want to get involved in. And then sometimes we get involved whether we want to or not. We just happen to see somebody. And that somebody, that individual, of all the people you've seen during that day or during the past year or during the past 20 years, this person, for some reason, has the most appeal. We don't know what it is. There are certain things that appeal to each and every one of us. But whatever it is, that individual locks into our mind, and we would like to get to know the person better. Then we go through this period of observing And then you meet and you talk and you begin to fall in love. Now, when we begin to fall in love, as you notice, no matter how long ago it was when you met the person you are currently with, there was still that anxiety, all kind of funny things happening with your heart when you saw them, smiles, and after you left, you couldn't wait to get back to see them again. And we call that falling in love. Now you're in love. And the person, the object of your affection, is in love with you. So now we're really going to have to crank it up, because we want that person to stay in love with us, and we want to please the individual that we love. So they have come up with a lot of different ways to do that. And one set of activities that can take place to enhance this romance is called the five languages of love. Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. This is going to be nice tonight. We're going to name the language of love. And from your point of view, and the reason we say your point of view, because we all have different personalities. We all have tastes, likes, and dislikes. And the person you are with has a personality, traits, values that are entirely different from the person that someone else met. So we're going to see what your response is to each one of these, and that way we will learn from each other.
From each other.
That's right. And the first one is the love language, words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. They can be simple, something you would say that would last for a short time, or something someone would say to you that you will remember forever. Words of affirmation. And I'll start off. There was a time when I was with my wife, and at that time, I was a disc jockey. I was a DJ, and I did shows on the weekend, on Friday and Saturday and sometimes Sunday. I would go mobile. I was a mobile DJ, do weddings and parties and so forth, and I was with this young lady. We had just started courting. And I said, okay, I have a show today. And, you know, I'll take you back home and see you tomorrow. So we were driving in my van. I'm going to take her home and drop her off. And then I'm going to go and do my show. And she looked over at me. And she said, baby, say, I really enjoy being with you. Can I go with you on your show? Oh, goodness gracious. Made me feel so good. And that was several decades ago. And I still remember that statement, I want to be with you. But it was preference. The preamble to that was, hey, baby. And here's what's strange. It was 4 decades ago that she has not called me by my name since that day. Since that day, I have been called baby, sweetheart, honey, sugar, but I have never been called by my name since that day, not one time. We have our daughters. We had family members. My brother's on the line. He's here with us frequently. And no one has ever heard me call her by her name or her address me by my name. And that is affirmation, just that little statement. So that's mine. Okay, let's hear from you. A word of affirmation. What would you consider words of affirmation to the object of your desire? Okay. Okay, Better Ray, why don't you give us the first one? Break the ice.
Well, let me see here. I would just say, awakening. And I would say that just also, I can speak with my wife. And I can remember when I was in the military, and I was a paymaster. And I can remember every time she would come through the line, well, let's say it was not a boring job, but I just can remember every time she would come through the line, I would perk up like I'm just waking up. That's what I said, just waking up. And I was so glad to see her. And I just remember how I used to would put her check, her money, close to the bottom so she could be in the line a little longer. And that's what I said. You are awakening for me just to make sure that I could just watch her. And then one time she began to notice that I was doing that. And then, of course, I let her know I was doing it on purpose. And she kind of liked it, giggled. And we, at that time, got together, catching up slowly, going back and forth from the island back into the New York. But that's how I would just say, a new awakening, and I remember
that was all right. That definitely was a new awakening, but you gave her some words of affirmation. What were some of the exact words that you used, which were words of affirmation?
As I just shared, I put your check on the bottom so I can make sure I can see you longer.
Oh, you told her that?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Now, that's strong. All right, then. All right. Okay.
He didn't get up.
All right. Okay. Brother Brandon. Now, Brother Brandon is a real rapper. Let's see what he had to say. So what did you say to her, Brandon?
Wait. You got to rephrase the question.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
The question is, that we have, we're talking about love languages and the words that we use for affirmation. And that is one of the five love languages would be words of affirmation to the object of your desire. So what words would you consider or have you used to enhance the romance of the object of your desire?
Am I already in a relationship, or that's what I'm shooting for?
You already in the relationship.
Oh, I would say being together, I would say, you know that I love you. I mean, haven't you seen it for the past 5 years? That's my words of affirmation.
All right, then. There you go. Just come strong. Yeah. So look here. It's been 5 years, and you know I love you, don't you?
I mean, don't you know that
about that? That's right. And why are you going? She said, that boy sure does talk strong. He wanted me to know exactly what was on his mind. Say, you know I love you, don't you? Say, just in case you forgot. I'm telling you
right
now. All right.
Seriously.
Okay. Now, that was strong. All right. Okay, here's a guy from Alabama, country boy, and really rap. And his name is Chuck Blackman. Go ahead, Blackman.
I don't know why you put me on the spot, because that statement was made in 1965, I think, or 65. So now you're asking me to remember what I said then. I don't know what I said then, but all I know is it worked.
Well, what have you said lately?
Yeah.
You know, this goes on and on. This is not just a one-time deal. Words of affirmation can be used anytime and all the time.
Well, we made the commitment. Well, I made the commitment in 1965, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was 65. On June the 12th, 1965. And as most of you know, June the 12th just passed.
All right. Hey.
I'm still holding on to that commitment that I made back then.
All right. All right. Well, listen, you've had an opportunity to do a whole lot of, make a lot of love languages in words of affirmation. For example, I gave you another one of mine. It's, my wife is a very good cook, and she makes sure that, you know, the things that I eat are nice and healthy, and so I can stay strong. And I don't neglect to tell her, I said, baby, that was a good dinner tonight. And she seems to like it, and that is affirming, letting her know that I appreciate what she has done. Words of affirmation. All right. Okay, Mike,
brother,
go ahead.
Brother Otis, can I ask a question?
Hey. How you doing, Apostle?
I'm doing good, Apostle Smith. Man, what about you?
All right, buddy.
Long time no hear. You had our hearts hurting and carrying on. Now we feel it. But now we're feeling better. But
I want
to say something.
Go right ahead, buddy.
For about the last 3-4 months, I have started talking to a young lady, and she was real nice and had me feeling real nice. So I started calling her my sweetie.
Ooh.
You know, just a nice. Just a nice word. Not trying to do this or that, but just a nice word. I was calling her. I said, you're my sweetie. And she said, well, why would you come up with something like that? I said, because I haven't felt this good in 26 years.
All right. All right.
She said, well, what happened 26 years? I said, my wife died 26 years ago, and I haven't been with no young lady that makes me feel as good with them as you do concerning my wife. I said, I'm not looking for my wife again, because I know I'll never get that. I said, but you have that kind of joy and happiness happening in my insides again. That's why I call you my sweetie. Now, I want to ask the question to anybody online. Is that an off statement to call somebody? And we've only been talking about 3-4 months.
It came in like 30 minutes.
Somebody commented. Go ahead. Somebody made a comment.
Question.
Now, that's what's that?
No, you asked a question and somebody made a comment. The person made the comment. Can you say that again?
I was saying me and the young lady. Hold on a minute. Me and the young lady had only been seeing each other about 3 or 4 months. I called her my sweetie because she made me feel nice. There was nothing sexual going on or nothing, so we ain't got to talk about that. But I'm calling her my sweetie and telling her how good she's making me feel. When she leaves, I tell her, you know, I love you. And when she leaves, she tell me she loved me, but she always called me Pastor. She didn't have a name for me. So was going too far? Was I going too far? Was I moving too quick? Somebody talk to me.
Well, let me answer from my point
of
view. Go ahead.
I was going to say, sometimes we, especially in ministry, we have to work on eggshells, unfortunately, because of the general public. I mean, I'm just going to put the blame where it belongs. They keep forgetting that we're regular human beings, but we have a greater responsibility. So love for us, the love language for us, is the same as it is for everybody else. The difference between those that are in ministry and those who are your common everyday people, and I'm not saying common everyday, but the non-saved, is the sensual parts of that whole operation have to be put on the shelf until after we say I do. I'm not saying everybody does it, but they do. So, no, you're not in the wrong. You're developing a relationship. You're developing intimacy. My love language of affirmation for my wife and I is, and I tell her this all the time, I said, as long as we are together, you will never have a dull day. My job is to make you laugh, keep you smiling, and make you fall in love with me. And trust me, I have made mistakes time after time again, and she gets mad, and then I would do something silly that would make her laugh, and then we'd be hugging each other. She said, baby, you shouldn't have done that. And I said, I know. But the beautiful thing about it is it doesn't – it's not that anything lingers. Just simple things like I love you, a simple touch, just telling her, hey, you know, there's nobody greater than you except God himself.
All right. All right. And Apostle Smith, that question you asked, if it pleases you, what you say to her, and if it pleases her, you are moving at the right speed.
Apostle Smith, I wanted to ask you, when she calls you pastor, did you tell her a different name that you prefer?
Yes, I did. I said, I'm calling you my sweetie. Why would you call me pastor?
Well, that's probably what she thinks you want to be referred to. But, I mean, did you tell her she could call you by your first name or, you know, a name
yes,
that
I
you would
did.
Like? You
yes,
did.
I did. But here's the thing. When I said, can't you call me something besides pastor, she laughed and kept going.
All right. Okay.
I don't think that's a division. I just think that she feels like, you know, that's the title that you're worthy to always be addressed as.
Well, as of 2 days ago, I had to let her go. She was you were calling me, accusing me of some things that I am not accusable of.
Yeah.
You know? She said, well, I'm talking about marriage and everything like that. I said, I asked you to marry me. I said, if things go well, maybe we can talk.
Yeah. Well, maybe you might want to turn your speedometer down a little bit. Maybe sometimes a person may be thinking about that, but if you introduce that word too soon, it does seem to frighten some people, and she seems to have been one of them. But if you like her, don't give up on it. Just try a different approach. All right. Does anyone else want to give an affirmation? It can be something simple, like, baby, you sure look nice tonight. Or she buy something new, get a new hairdo, or he would do something nice for you and just compliment it. And that would be a word of confirmation. Now, here's another one of the love languages that will help you to be in love and stay in love for a longer time. And that is called quality time. What do we mean by quality time? And quality time means time that you will spend with that person, focusing on that person, on topics that would impact the two of you all directly. Quality time, such as one that I like is putting my wife in the car and we drive around. She likes nature, trees and flowers. And luckily, we live close to what is called Rock Creek Park here in the area. And we drive through the park. There are no traffic lights where we drive, just trees and a little stream on the side. And we stop and talk sometime. And that's, we used to take our lunch, fix a couple of sandwiches, drive down there and have lunch. And just talk. And that was quality time. So, how do you do in the area of quality time with the person you love or trying to fall in love with? What some of the activities that you would take part in that would be defined as quality time? Now, keep in mind, yours is different from someone else's, so it's not wrong. All right, give it to us. Let's get one or two comments on this one.
Well,
my phone went. I hit my phone by mistake. Sorry.
All right. So while you're talking, tell us about some quality time.
Well, I'm going to tell you about quality time. When he had me, the only thing he did, took me grocery shopping, took me to the cell phone store. Other than that, we really haven't spent no time together.
All right. Didn't have it a quality time. All right. Okay, someone did have some quality time. And tell us about it right now. You've had words of affirmation, told her how nice she was looking, or he is looking, and now you want to make sure that you spend quality time with this individual. So
well,
what would you do?
Before we get to the quality time, I'd just like to say that I met my wife many years ago, back in the 60s as well, and I went to cool in those days, but I used to call her lady, and it may not be, I kind of graduated from that, and now I call her a Spanish word called dulce, which means sweet, like candy, so I use that a lot, and she had me laughing a bit. She's kind of funny at times, you know. So.
All right. That's nice. Yeah, laughter. Laughter is definitely a good quality time to see a couple laughing together.
Yeah, she always finds something funny about me or about something I say. Or so we get quite a few laughs going on here. So I understand laughter is good. So, hey, praise the Lord. We do it.
Laughter. It's very good. Mm-hmm. There are many couples that seldom, if ever, laugh together. So if you got that going, keep it moving. All right, let's get one more before we move to the other love language.
I know we first started talking about dating and courtship. I had suggested that when you meet somebody new, your dating should be expected at least for 12 months to give you a chance to find out more about the person, what they like, their dislikes, some of the traditions that they have with friends and family, who their friends are. You know, just get a chance to see this person in different situations and different times of the year. So I've always thought spending quality time, especially when you first meet someone, is very important instead of, you know, jumping into a relationship and expecting, say, in 30 days, everything is just going to be a perfect match. But you have to see people in different situations, under different circumstances, and then you want to really get a feel of, you know, how much they care for you and whether this is really going to be worth an investment of your time. So I just feel like spending quality time when you first meet a person is important. And then as you mature in your love, it becomes consistent, and it's based on a commitment then. So quality time is very important.
All right.
And a real good investment of your time.
Okay. I like that because, say, maybe on Christmas, this person could have been going home to stay with their family, take a little leave, and stay with the family. Now they've met someone, and it's okay. I'll be back in 8 days. Where are you going? I always spend Christmas with my parents. Say, but we sort of married now. You're supposed to cut that out. But they got married after being together for only a short time without spending any quality time throughout the courtship. So that's another thing, is some good time together. And those good times, if you have quality time, you begin to repeat that over, and that makes the love stronger. How about the third one? Now, this was for something. Is receiving gifts. See, people like to receive gifts, and people like to give gifts. So how are you in the gift-giving and the gift-receiving department? Okay, I started off. My wife likes gifts. So I'm always trying to find something, little things, it can be very small, to give her. And she really does appreciate it. Cards, even a note, just a little, anything from me. She's very sentimental about things, and she'll keep it. Now for me, I don't care for gifts that much. Just whatever the occasion is, whether it's birthday, Christmas, anniversary, give me a card, and we'll sit down and talk, hold hands, and that's good enough for me. So how about you? How are you on giving and receiving gifts?
I think I'm probably one of the worst gift givers. I have the most difficult time giving a gift that gets the kind of reaction that I think should be forthcoming. And that has been a perpetual problem of mine, and it has gone everywhere from mink coats to cars to travel to whatever. And I expect one kind of reaction, and that reaction always appear to be subdued, if even, and in some cases, non-existent. So that has been a perpetual problem of mine, and that is basically how to give a gift that generates the kind of reaction that I would expect or anticipate. So,
all right.
If somebody can tell me how to work on that problem.
Okay, well, we got some experts on the line. Let's hear from you. Go ahead.
It's really funny about the gift-giving thing, because I do like giving my friends a gift. And I can remember, I just picked up this one time, and I was in a store with an individual, and she was looking at this necklace. And we passed by it, and she just kept looking at it, tried it on, and they walked away. And what I did, I doubled back next day, and I got, and then the next, we were just sitting down eating, and I just put the bottom line, I gave him the gift, and I was
all right.
You would think that she had just got the gift of a lifetime. I got a lot of hugs and little squeals, and the rest of the world know what was going on. Yeah, she was just a happy. And these years have gone by, one time she had a picture on Facebook, and she said, "Do you remember this?" She's still wearing that. I was sad, but when she go out on this special case, she put that necklace on. It's a little funny looking, but she liked it.
Yeah, that's when she picked it up.
Yes, I know.
Now,
she kept. Yeah.
All right, now that's giving a gift. Anybody else on gift giving? It doesn't have to be anything expensive.
Well, just if you don't gift. Since you're on gift giving, I gave a friend a box with a ring that I knew was too small. I said, I hold on to this just for friendship, not for marriage. I said, let it be the friendship gift.
Tried
it on, somebody, it was too small. I went this side of that side. Nobody told you to try it on. Just enjoy the gift. Now, they make like that they want the box. But when they left with the box, they said, let me think. What is my name going to be? I just said we're not getting married. It's a friendship box. what is my name going to be? Such and such. And said my last name. And then grabbed the box and left. Like they were getting ready to. I said, uh-oh, something ain't going right with this.
So how did that relationship work out?
Well, I'm at my place there. They place or at work or wherever they are. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
All right.
So you have a variety. You have some that are afraid of a commitment, and some want to be committed, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
I think what happened, she finally admitted the other day she was in a 13-year relationship, but it was rocky and abusive and all this. And then I was accused of moving too fast. I said, what do you mean?
Yeah. All right. Okay, anybody else on gift giving?
But, you know, at the end of the discussion, I understood it's going to be good. You stay at your place, I'll stay at mine. And when the Lord gets ready, he'll let us be the right person.
All right, then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, how about this one that I take a look at from time to time? It's called the fourth gift of love language. The fourth area is acts of service. What does that mean to you when you hear that? Acts of service. What do you think that
means?
Oh,
that's an easy one, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
Taking the trash out, washing the clothes, washing the car,
rubbing her feet.
Oh, a foot massage, yes. Matter of fact, women go to a lot to get a massage on their feet. They go to the spas, on the ship, they want to get that. You're right. That act of service is just doing something for the person you care for without them asking. Now, that's appreciated even more. If they have to ask you and you do it, that's good. But if you do it without being asked, that's extra points in acts of service.
That's right.
All right. And here's one. The last one is called physical touch. Now, tell us about that. I'll tell you about mine. My wife and I have the privilege of being together all day, every day. And we've had that for quite a while. We stopped working kind of early. Matter of fact, my wife was 48 when she came out of the workplace. And we haven't had to work, so we've been together. And with being together, I mean, she's real close by. Like right now, she's about 2 inches away from me. And so what I do is I like to touch her. And then one day, I was going past her. She was sitting down at the table. We stay in the kitchen a lot. And we were in the kitchen watching TV and working on. I also have a laptop on the table. And I just got up, you know, to go somewhere. And I touched her. Then I stopped. Just stopped behind her chair and just rubbed her for about 5 minutes. And then I got ready to walk away. And then she gave me words of affirmation. And she said, "I really like feeling your hands all over me." I said, "You got to be kidding." I didn't say anything, but I sure did like to hear that. So, and I also enjoyed the physical touch. And she let me know that she enjoyed it. And I definitely enjoy when she touches me. And she does that in many ways, which I'll tell you about in a few minutes. But right now, let's hear about you. What do you think about physical contact? By the way, it's called tactile communication. That's when you're touching somebody. And communication, if you touch somebody, it means something to them. There are seldom any casual physical contacts. You may think it's casual, but people know when they have been touched. You know when you've been touched. A lady reach up and touch your face with the tips of her finger. You're going to try to act cool, but boy, you have been touched, and you're going to remember that. So when your wife or your loved one does that to you, it stays on your mind. So what else? Go ahead. Let's hear from you. Touch. What do you think about that? And how do you like it? Do you like to touch, or do you like to be touched?
This one is too easy.
Well, I like me to say that. That means that you're on the ball. You're going for it. Go ahead. No, what's your comment?
I'm gonna let the old timers get this one. I could probably learn something.
No, but you said right now it's kind of easy. Tell me about how you observe that.
I'm gonna just set this one out. I'm gonna listen to this.
Okay, because the reason I asked you that is this not just for you but everybody. There are some people, and you're gonna meet a few of them, do not like to be touched, even with their husbands. They do not like to be touched. They think there's a time for things like that. And just any time of the day is not the right time. I saw a man touch his wife one day, and they were out shopping. He reached up and put his hand on her shoulder. Oh, goodness. You would have thought his hand was on fire. She jerked back, jerked that shoulder back, and did a full frontal look at him and said something and turned back around real fast. I don't know what she said, but he didn't touch her anymore. And she did not like his hand on her shoulder. So I'm glad you said it was easy, because that means for you, you've had no problem with that. Okay, how about the rest of the guys and ladies on the line tonight? Tell me about this one. We got something, a nice close for you tonight. Go ahead.
Well,
oh, wow.
I like to touch, and my wife, she's not too touchy, but she'll touch every now and then. Sometimes when we're out, we may hold hands occasionally. That's not a regular thing, but every now and then. And around the house, we like touching a little.
You said around the house what?
We like touching.
Okay, both of you?
Yeah, mostly.
All right.
Me.
As long as it's mutual.
I guess I'm kind of feely.
All right. That's what men do. We get kind of feely. All right.
Good evening, everybody. I'm kind of joining in and out, up and down. But bottom line is the touch, one of the most sensitive and sensual things that most can do for those that like it. I understand the five love languages. I wasn't there for the first three, but I guess this must be number four. The bottom line is simply this. A good relationship has to have that sensuality about it. I mean, a simple touch, a holding of the hand, a stroking of the face, running your hand down her back, and let's just get a bit more intimate, just touching her bottom. Not slapping it, just rub your hand over it. That's all. simple things that kind of cause her a little bit of excitement and just a touch of anticipation. Start that in the morning. You know, they often said that sex begins in the kitchen, and what they mean by that is first thing in the morning, you rubbing on her, she in her nightgown, there could be some action taking place in a few minutes if you do it right. I'm going to shut up.
Hey, all right. All right. Okay. Anybody else?
I think that guy been reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
I don't want to do no whips and chains. I'm not into none of that.
And as you see, it's like in that movie, there's different people. They like different things in the touching area. So if it's mutual, mutually agreeable, go for it. Okay, here's a question. With the five languages of love, they can definitely keep your romance on track and help it to build and grow. This young couple, they were both 23 years old, and he was in the military. Everything was great. He'd been married a year. And he got shipped overseas for 1 year on a unaccompanied tour, which meant he couldn't take his wife. Now, during that year that he was gone, which one of the individuals, the man or the woman, do you think would go out first and begin to sample the products, affectionate physical products of another person, the man or the woman?
The man.
All right.
Definitely the man.
I say the man real quick.
All right, yeah. the man, that seemed to be the first answer, and that's I would go that too. Now, is it fair for somebody 22 years old, they're both young people, to expect the wife or the young lady whose hormones are jumping like a disco to calm herself down for a whole year waiting for the man? Is that a reasonable expectation when it doesn't seem as
married?
it doesn't seem as if that's expected of the man?
Are they married?
Okay,
are they
married? Okay, say married.
If they're married, yes.
Okay, if they're married, do you think the man will still step out?
He better not.
No, but do you think it's likely that he would?
Well, I'm saying he better not. I pray that he doesn't. There are some who won't, and then there are some who will. Those who won't are committed to the relationship, and they know what it is. And, of course, they have those moments when they need a little something-something, but they know how to hold themselves. If they're Christian, they've got help, inside help. If they're non-Christian, 90% of the time, they'll probably do something. How much, we don't know. Here's the problem, though. You step out on your spouse, male or female, and you're stepping into a world of unknown. It's the twilight zone. You have no idea what you possibly might run against. You may not feel it on that one-night stand. I like the late Della Reese in the movie Thin Line. She made this statement, and it holds true in those situations. A moment of pleasure can produce a lifetime of pain. You may either have children, some deadly disease that takes you out, or even just something like chlamydia, syphilis, gonorrhea, any one of those. You don't know what you're dealing with outside of your marriage. Stay in the safety zone. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, this young man got stationed to move about over in the Far East. He was in Japan and Korea. And over there, those women look like little dolls. And they have special schools that they attend to learn how to please men who were going to be their husbands. So they know something about lovemaking. Now, and the chance of this young man bypassing that, and even in the areas where they have the military people, you know, going to bars, the prostitutes there are very inexpensive. Not anything close to American prostitutes. So the likelihood of this young man, I like what you say about they shouldn't, but the likelihood of a person sampling the products of that particular assignment are from high to very high.
Very, very
high. So, Go again. What did you say? Yes. So that's the situation. But back home, the young lady could be hearing words of affirmation from some of the guys who see her. They can ask to just say, I know you, your husband gone, but let's just go for a walk in the park one day. Tell me what you've been doing. Quality time. Look up, he remembered her birthday, gave her a little gift and a card. And one day he came over, and he said he noticed her car was a little dirty. He came in, knocked on the door, talked to her, and said, I'll wash the car. And he did, washed it, and then waxed it. So now she's riding around on a shiny car. And before he left, he reached up and put both hands, one hand on her right shoulder and one hand on her left shoulder, to see what her reaction would be, and she didn't move. So the next thing, And let's see if I can take this a little bit further. I'm touching her. But let's see if what's going to happen if I try to kiss her on the cheek. And he did. And she didn't move. So next is, let's see if I can touch her lips with my lips. And they did. Now, is it fair for her to resist all that? For us to expect her to resist that, and her husband been gone for 10 months? That's just a question.
I'm going to throw this out there, and I have to say this. If there's no resistance from the first touch, then obviously she's ready to be touched. So you can rest assured that there's going to be some touching and some heavy-duty intercessory prayer, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Well, if she's married.
Yeah, yeah, they're married.
I expect her to remain faithful. I'm not.
All right.
It doesn't matter that it's 10 months or a year. That doesn't come into the equation at all. She's a married woman, off limits.
All right. All right.
I don't disagree with that. I do not disagree with that. But we're talking about the scenario. We're talking about the situation. We're talking about the circumstance. Remember, and I hate to say it this way, but it does happen. You know, and I'm going to say this because it happened to me. I told you guys on our men's prayer line about the situation with my youngest son. That was something that needed to be totally avoided. But in the process of time, it manifested itself, and the end result, I did get a wonderful son out of it, but there was a lot of unnecessary turbulence and chaos in the midst of all that madness. You know?
Oh, man, yeah. Okay.
I have. So I'm talking from I'm just talking from experience. I'm not talking from what I heard somebody say.
Yeah.
I'm talking from my younger, young and dumb days and what I did. So here it is. But see, I can tell the whole story, but I'm not going to get into the whole story because there was stuff going on over where the young lady's husband was, and
uh-oh.
I think that's what that may have triggered the entire thing. Because up to that point, we hadn't even thought about each other. And then when she got word about the girlfriend over there, all of a sudden, I'm not going to say I was a victim or a target. I will say that I was in the right place at the wrong time.
Yeah. All right.
I have an acronym, right? And a viewer who just said the likelihood of these things happening when they're absent from one another. Now, I have spent having been in the military and traveled around the world a couple of times, and I have seen these situations where these young soldiers, young and old as well, especially in the Orient, they have come there, they are exposed to something that will never be copied or duplicated here in America. As far as the women are concerned. But I have this little thing. It's called, my acronym is S-T-O-P. Stop. At any given time, this stop can be activated and cause the wander away from what he once said it was. The first one, the S stands for situation. The situation, whatever that might be going on between the places, and the time. I'm not giving the commentary behind each one, but just think about the situation, the time, the O stands for opportunity. Opportunity, whatever it might have between the two. And the last one, the P, is the place. The place. P-L-A-C-E, situation, time, opportunity, and the place. That fire can be ignited with any of these positions, whatever the situation might be that she she is lonely, or in the case of...
Well...
All right. Yeah. All right. You got an applause on that one.
Reverend
yeah.
Billy?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say, Reverend Billy, I like what you said, but see, I'm going to show you something else. That might be the last resort in a case like that, because now in this day and age, I'm talking about in the 21st century, there are multiple toys out there. And I'm sorry, let's talk about it. Are we going to be real or are we going to act fake? Y'all let me know what we're going to do. But there are multiple toys out there. If there are multiple toys that women do use to get satisfaction. I talked about this several weeks ago, and everybody almost had a toy baby. Because I made mention of a toy called, I made mention of something called the Rosebud, and it's a vibrator that's shaped like a rose, which is designed to stimulate the clitoris, but it's a little penile type end to it that is inserted into the vagina to bring a woman what they call the total satisfaction. So there are some out there who might be able to sustain if it means pleasuring themselves. But then there are those who would just have to have that male touch. They have to feel
right.
that warmth of
right.
that body with her. They've got to feel those hands tightly gripping whatever portion. Don't make me paint a picture in here because Sister Teresa will attack you if I keep going. Anyway, the bottom
All right.
The bottom line is, you know, there is, you know, women can sustain because they have, but for the man, there are things they can use, and I don't know. I've heard the stories. I'm not sure what it is. I don't want to know. I'm just saying, Lord, don't let my wife go nowhere. Just let her be here. Because I ain't got time for no toys.
That's right.
But don't,
all
don't.
Right. As a matter of fact, now all this comes under touching and pleasuring. Is people like to be pleasured if someone doesn't have the privilege, you know, of getting a man to pleasure them, they can go to the store or order from Amazon. It'll come right to the house. And
they
so,
got everything.
And so that would, many people have resorted to that because it is so simple and so easy. It arrived the next day. All right. Comments, questions. ETC about
is
tonight's
the
discussion.
Is the man
the love
the toy that the man brings?
Go, say it again.
Amazon, is that the toy or is that the man that's coming from Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
The man.
Yeah,
right.
You
right.
They got some blow up whole women. And then they have portions. And then they have portions of women that you can purchase from Amazon.
That is right.
That's
that
right.
That is right.
So,
I mean, and then you got to remember this. There is the old traditional. And the old traditional is the mailman, the milkman, the butcher, the
oh,
gardener.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on here now. Let's just be real. Next thing you know,
now,
the gardener's
you know,
minding his business.
Hey, now that is something.
Business, and the next thing you know, he's clipping somebody else's hedges.
Now you know that is something that is ignored too much. There are casual relationships where people will meet, and within the next 10 minutes, they are having sex. And
you got
that
right.
About the plumber coming by, or women going in restaurants, and they will meet them in the restroom, you would be surprised at the frequency of that, and that is that's that STOP that was not applied. It was a time, the place, opportunity, and all this, and everything. Listen, stop, not today. This is it, and they never have seen that person before, and don't ever see them again. So we can't ignore reality.
Without a single man. When I was a single man, that's kind of what happened on multiple occasions. You know, one night stand, I thought, now listen to what I'm saying. I know it's time to end. I thought a one night stand was supposed to be a normal thing. No, it wasn't. It wasn't supposed to be, but
And I was single then, so, you know, sowing wild oats. Yeah. I don't know how wild they were. I'm waiting for somebody to come back and say, I'm your son. So they would have to be at least they would have to be at least 50 years old to tell me they're my son.
All right.
Don't laugh at me, Lady Teresa. You know there's something wrong with me.
That's not me.
Whoever that is laughing at me, stop laughing. You know I got issues. No, but on the real, good topic. Real good topic. And appreciate you handling everything. Now, the words all of right. affirmation, you said words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts. That's it, right?
Okay, why don't you go and close it out?
Oh, no. You don't close it out because it was assigned to you. I was going to come help you, but you didn't need my help.
Oh, no. We wanted everybody's comments in there, and you've been a great help. So, tonight's session, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, married, engaged, want to get married, people afraid to marry you, and you afraid to marry them, it is time to keep the love languages in mind. And it's a good way to impress a person. And this survey was taken, and the book was written by Gary Chapman, and it's been a bestseller for a very long time. And
that's
it works.
It.
And it dealt into the psychology of men and women about what they like. And these five came out on top. So keep that in mind. Now, even though you've been together for a long time, or now, since you're just meeting someone that you would like to impress, and you will have an enhanced romance. And, of course, this comment, ETC.
None.
If none, Almighty God in heaven, we thank you for this session tonight. When we have come together to find out, Heavenly Father, how to do what you have commanded us to do on your very first commandment, it's moving toward multiplying and populating the earth. And dear Lord God, bless us with a wonderful relationship with the object of our desire. Give us love and happiness and peace, and may it spread from the couple to our family members and throughout our circle of influence, Almighty God. Thank you for blessing us. Increase your blessings upon us. And we pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Kimmy Kim, let that song rip, Kimmy Kim.
All right. All right. Good night, everybody.
You know, I like Julio. Let's get the ad lib and stuff. Oh my God, that's like so smooth, like scat or something like that. Maybe talking in tongues, you know what I mean? Ah.
You walk right in the church. You got on a dress that I like. Looking like you're coming from work. And your shoes game is looking so nice. I wish that you could sit right next to me. Me. Maybe we can read the scripture from 1 through 3. 1, 2. Now wait a minute, is the usher walking over here right next to me? Then he pointed my direction, said, go ahead and take a seat. I think I feel that God just went and blessed me. But I gotta keep my cool, cause she put a Bible next to mine. She put a Bible next to mine.
Father God, I hope my time is right. Every good man needs a Christian wife, Christian wife, Christian wife. See, God has a way to position in things right for you. And sometimes you can't see it until it comes right to you. From you. And that's just how he works. No questions asked. Romans 8:28. Please keep the faith. You're going to have to believe. 'Cause God got something smooth right up his sleeve. And that's God's purpose. And it's worth it. And she's worth it. Nobody's perfect. Put the Bible next to mine. She put the Bible next to mine. Father God, I hope my time is right. Every good man needs a Christian wife, Christian wife, Christian wife. That's why.